how much trust you have depends on how much truth you've hidden. How much trust you have depends on how much truth you've hidden. If you're having a hard time trusting God in an area of your life right now, it may be a sign that you have not hidden the truth in your heart deeply enough for that situation. And so when we haven't hidden the truth in our heart, we always have to cling to traditions and certainties and old ways of doing things. But if we be more like Holly and get a good sense of where we're going, we can be in situations that are very strange, but still have a very deep, solid sense of faith. Well, I've already preached a whole sermon today. I feel like that was pretty good. But I want to talk about this man in John chapter 5 that I read to you about, because the Bible says that he was hanging out in a place in Jerusalem near the sheep gate, a pool where occasionally the waters would stir. And when the waters were stirred, there was a superstition that if you could get into those waters before anybody else did, you could be healed of whatever had happened to you. The Bible says that a great number of people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And you know, this verse is what really got my attention, where in verse 5 it said, one who was there, which made me wonder, of all the people that Jesus could have healed that day at that pool at that time, why this one? One was there. Last week I preached on he was the one. And I guess that's what got me into studying John chapter 5, because I wondered why this one. You know, I'm kind of expecting this great moment of faith like Zacchaeus, who climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus is like, all right, if you're gonna go climbing up trees, I'll have lunch with you. Come on down. I'm going to your house. Or like the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through a crowd even though she was ceremonially unclean to get to Jesus. Or like those men who stood out shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Like screaming out of need for Jesus. Since all of those factors were absent from the man in John chapter 5, it left me wondering, after all week of studying, why this one? In fact, if you go on to read about this guy, he had a very damaged past. He had a little bit of a, I don't want to say this in a bad way that makes you think that the things that we go through are always the result of the sins that we commit, but he had something to do with his illness. Because Jesus, when he tracks him down a little later, tells him, hey, you need to stop sinning or something worse is going to happen. And even in the passage, like if you read this, when Jesus says, do you want to get well? The guy kind of comes back at Jesus and doesn't really answer his question. Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes ahead of me. So he's kind of blamey. It's not like he threw himself at the feet of Jesus when Jesus said, do you want to get well? And said, I'll do anything. I worship you, Lamb of God, Son of David. None of that. So why this one? Last week I shared that there are two lies that the enemy tells you. These are not the only two lies. The enemy is the father of lies. So he has a lot of babies. The enemy has way more than two lies, but there are two that I want to deal with today. And I dealt with them a little bit last week. But he tried to tell you sometimes two things. You are no one. And you have no one. Either of those two things, if you begin to believe them deeply in your heart, will keep you stuck in a belief of insignificance or a state of isolation. Watch how they work together. I am no one. I have no one. Since I am no one, I have nothing to offer. They wouldn't want to hear from me. They wouldn't want to be with me. They wouldn't want to do that with me. They wouldn't want to accept me. I am no one. I have no one. I am no one. I have no one. In walks Jesus to one of the festivals and finds a man. And the Bible simply says about him, one who was there. That's the only label. Well, his other label is he couldn't walk. He was one who was there who couldn't walk. He was one who was there who had fallen behind. He was one amongst many who could not do what other people could do. Why this one? We've already examined that it was no great faith that he exhibited or demonstrated. We've already examined that there are probably things that would have kept the other people from thinking he was worthy of help. Why this one? And you wonder that about yourself sometimes, huh? Why would God use me when there are so many people? I love what the man said, because we think about this sometimes. He said, every time I try, someone else gets ahead of me. This man is prone to comparison. This man is prone to excuses. And the Bible says, verse 5, one who was there. Jesus didn't stay and heal everybody at the pool that day. Jesus didn't call for a line of people. This is a particular miracle that Jesus performs at a particular time for a specific person, one who was there. Now touch your neighbor and ask him, are you the one? It's the obvious question. Are you the one? Because it's a lot of people in church today. It's a lot of people online today. But what if you're the one? Ask them, what if you're the one? What if you're the one who needs to hear this message today more than anybody else in the room? What if you're the one that God gave Pastor Stephen this message for? What if you're the one who takes this word and walks out of here different than you came in? Ask him again, what if you're the one? One was there. He was there in a place that he didn't want to be. He was there in a place where he probably had contributed to being himself. A lot of times we think God will get us out of situations if we didn't get ourselves into them. This is a miracle that should encourage all the ones who have done dumb stuff, and you need God to deliver you from your own hand, your own decisions. Clap if you screwed up a time or two and you need God to do something about the situations you created. I love y'all. Y'all are such a real church. I said, clap if you screwed up. That was the loudest you clapped all Sunday. I pastor Elevation Church. And he was the one that was chosen out of all the others. But there is one little detail in this verse that stood out to me as being maybe a little irrelevant at first. Then I realized God doesn't waste any words. And so I found why he was the one in the same verse that said he was the one. Verse 5, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. How many think that's a long time to suffer like that? 38 years. How many think 38 is old? Bible doesn't say he was 38 years old. It said he'd been in that state for 38 years. And the crazy thing about it was when Jesus heals this guy, look, you expect people to be happy when God does something in your life. You got to understand that sometimes people want to think like that they're God and they should get to decide who God blesses and how God does things. So this man in verse 9, is cured, picked up his mat and walked. But look at verse 9, part B. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "You can't do that. It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. The law won't let you do that." Not God's law, their law. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't carry your mat after you get healed on the Sabbath. That's just something they added to it after the law came through Moses. Y'all remember Moses? He's the one who brought down the Ten Commandments from the mountain. He was the one. He's the one. Oh, that was Will saying that. I didn't know who said that. Yeah, he was the one who came down with the tablets from the mountain, and one of them was to honor the Sabbath, right? To honor that God rested from his work by resting from yours. But he was not the one. There was no part of that commandment, no clause of that commandment that said that if you are healed from a crippling disease on the Sabbath, don't carry your mat around. That's just stuff they added on later. It was their law. So now we've got an interesting dilemma going on in John chapter 5. It is their word versus God's word. It is man's law versus God's law. I'm just about ready to preach right now. And they said to the man, "You can't do that. The law forbids you from doing that on the Sabbath. You can't carry your mat. You can't do that." And I love verse 11, because the man looked back at them and said, "That's nice to hear what you think I can and can't do. But there's one thing I've noticed every day I've been coming to this pool. I've been coming to this pool every day for years now. I've been laying in my spot every day for years now. I've been asking for help every day for years now. I've been waiting for a change every day for years now. I've watched these festivals come and go every day for years now. I've watched pilgrims stream in and out of Jerusalem, in and out of the temple for years now. And for every day I sat here, and for every year I came here, and for every prayer I prayed here, and for every request I made here, you never told me to get up and walk. So guess what? If you don't have the power to give, you don't have to give the permission for me to do it." Now. I love it. Because watch this. He said, verse 11, give it to me again. "The man who made me well said to me." So I hear what you're saying to me, but I know what he did for me. And now watch this. What you said I can't do is in conflict with what he told me that I could do. I hear God saying, "Take it up with the one who made me. I see in this text every person in this room in a certain situation in your life where the law is powerless to raise you, and effort is powerless to raise you, and people that you have depended on have been unable to raise you because they're human too. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's take just a moment and just about 15 seconds and see if we can worship the one who said, 'Let there be light,' and there was." Let's see, can we worship the one who was there? The one who was there in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that was made through him. If he made it, he can change it. If he made it, he can raise it. And if he made it, he gets to label it. Thank
You've been laying down long enough. All right, everybody's still sitting. You've had 15 minutes to write notes. Get up and give him praise. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up. Get up. Get up.
That's what he said. The man who made me well said I could do it. Yeah. So you gotta get this attitude, right? Like, I hear my fear saying I can't, but the man who made me, well, I feel like that. The man who made me, if it's a conflict between the people who didn't make me and the man who made me, well.
Hey, thanks for stopping by my YouTube channel. I hope you were blessed today. If you were, share this with somebody. Like and subscribe and leave me a comment. Let me know where you're watching from, what we can pray for you about. Hope to see you back here again really soon.